Today is the octave day of the Nativity, also known as the circumcision of our Lord. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the epistle of St. Paul to Titus. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and the coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and might cleanse for himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things I speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for today's Holy Gospel, which is taken from the second chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished, that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus are the words of today's most holy Gospel. Please be seated. I'd like to take this opportunity to wish each and every one of you a very blessed new year. Certainly my prayers are with you today that you will make good resolutions for this coming year, especially with regard to your spiritual life. We must advance each year. We should be closer to our Lord. We should be more perfect. We should be better imitating our blessed Lord. And so we should take good resolutions with regards to our spiritual life on this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, today then we celebrate the octave day of Christmas, or in times past it was called the circumcision of our blessed Lord. Today then is considered so important by Holy Mother the Church that she obliges us to assist at Mass on this day, as she does on all other holy days of obligation. She obliges us to refrain from servile work. And so today, during this sermon, I would like to look at several reasons then why this feast of our Lord's circumcision is such a solemn occasion for the Church. The first reason then for this solemnity of today's feast is that, in fact, it is the octave day of our Lord's birth. We hold, especially in times past, before the reforms in the Church and so forth, we held octave days for the saints. The octaves of their feast days were held as great solemnities. And so how much more, my dear friends, should we hold then the octave day of our blessed Lord's birth in high esteem? It was, in ancient times, the custom of this day to sing the Mass of the Blessed Virgin Mary in order to recall then her part in the Nativity of our Lord, the Incarnation, the Nativity of our Lord, that she was cooperating then with the grace of Almighty God to bring our Lord into this world. And so it was the custom to sing the Mass to her on this day in ancient times. The second reason then for this solemnity is that it was on this day then that our Lord was conferred this new name, this great name, the name of Jesus. He who is both God and man, he was born in the stable at Bethlehem. He was given this name, which was called from all eternity by Almighty God. Almighty God sent his angel to tell the Blessed Virgin Mary that this child was to be called Saint Joseph, to be called Jesus. He told Saint Joseph in his dream that this was a child from God. Almighty God told Saint Joseph, "Do not worry. Take this woman to be your wife, for what the child she bears in her womb is from God." So our Lord was given this name then of Jesus. According to Saint Bernard, he says, "This name is honey in the mouth. It is music in the ear. and a cry of joy in the heart. It is like oil, it gives light. It nourishes when it is preached. It brings calm to the soul when it is meditated upon. And it anoints all those who invoke it. So we see then the importance of our Lord's name. Jesus is our Savior. The name then of Jesus was imposed upon our Lord by God, by the angel, and by his putative father, Saint Joseph. Jesus, of course, means Savior, and he is called then our Savior for three reasons. Firstly, it was on account of his power to save us. He has this power to save all men. And thus, then, it was fitting that this name be given to our blessed Lord from all eternity. He was going to become man, to die upon the cross, to redeem us. And so, it was fitting that this name be given to him by God from all eternity. Secondly, then, he has the disposition to save us. And thus, it was fitting, then, that his name be imposed upon him by an angel, showing that it belonged to him from the moment of his conception, that he was coming into this world to save mankind. And finally, then, his act of saving mankind, when he came into this world, it was thus fitting that it be imposed upon him by his foster father, Saint Joseph, in anticipation, of course, of the passion which he was to undergo 33 years later. And so we see then that this name of Jesus was fitting and that it was imposed upon him in a fitting way from all eternity by the angel and by Saint Joseph at the time of his circumcision. The third reason then for the solemnity of this feast is the fact that this event then marked the first time that our blessed Lord shed blood for mankind. He was to do this, of course, a total of 5 times in his life. The first, of course, was the circumcision, the feast we celebrate today, which was the beginning of our redemption. The second was when he prayed in the garden, his agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this then showed his desire to redeem us. The third took place then at his scourging, where he merited our redemption. He took all these scourges for us. Because, of course, by his bruises, by his bodily being mangled and torn, he healed us. The fourth, then, was his crucifixion, which was, of course, the price of our redemption. And finally, the last time, of course, was when the soldier pierced his side, when he opened his side and his heart with the spear, and blood and water flowed forth from our blessed Lord's heart. And this, of course, signified the sacrament of our redemption. For indeed, the blood and the water which poured forth from our Lord's side prefigured our cleansing by the waters of baptism, and also, of course, our cleansing in the sacrament of penance, sacrament of confession. And if because all these sacraments, of course, are going to have their efficacy, their power, their strength from our Lord's precious blood. Finally then, we can look at the reasons why our blessed Lord chose to be circumcised. We know that he was not under the law. He did not have to follow the law. He was coming, of course, he was God himself, and so he was not bound by the law of Moses, and yet he chose to be circumcised. Why did he choose to do so? First of all then, he chose to be circumcised in his own body, for he knew then that there were going to be many men who said that he did not have a real body, that he was not really man, that he was only a phantasm or a ghost it was not a real body that he had. And so he chose to shed his blood on this occasion to show then that he had a true body, that he was truly a man, to refute the error of those who were going to come later on. He knew that men were going to claim this in error, and so he was showing from his very birth that he indeed had a human body. Secondly, he chose to be circumcised for our sake, in order to show us then that we would have to be circumcised in spirit. According to Saint Bernard, we undergo then a twofold circumcision. He said the first circumcision is a circumcision of the flesh, in the external, in the flesh. First of all, in our manner of living, lest we be blameworthy, other people can blame us for the way we live. Secondly, in our actions, lest they merit the reproach of others. Others may reproach us for our bad actions, the way we live, the bad things we do. And thirdly, then, in our speech, lest our words evoke then the contempt of others. And secondly, then, he said there's going to be an internal circumcision, a circumcision in the spirit. First of all, in our thoughts, so that our thoughts are always holy. We're always thinking about holy things. Secondly, in our affections, so that these affections are always pure, never going into things which are impure or bad. And thirdly, then, in our intention, so that our intention will always be upright, to always do the very best, to always do the best things for Almighty God. As one member of the body, we know oftentimes has to be cauterized, we have to have some kind of surgery performed on one of our members of our body, so that the whole body can be saved. So then, Christ chose to be cauterized in one member in order to bring health to the entire mystical body. As St. Paul tells the Colossians, he says, "In whom you are circumcised, not with the circumcision made by hand, in the despoiling of the body of flesh, but in the circumcision of Christ." So we are circumcised in spirit. Our hearts are circumcised to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, then, our Lord chose to be circumcised for the sake of the Jews, who would thus have no excuse for rejecting him. We can imagine that had he not undergone the rituals required by the law, they would have held that against him. They could have said, "You are not like our fathers. You have not followed the law. Why should we listen to you?" And so our Lord chose to be circumcised for their sake. Fourthly, then, he chose to be circumcised having the demons in mind in order to keep them from learning the truth about who he was. He was Almighty God. He was born into this world, but this was hidden from Satan. Satan did not even know, even at the time of the Passion, for surely Satan would not have sought his death on the cross had he known that he was the Messiah. So it was kept hidden from Satan. Satan did not know this truth. And so he was going to be circumcised as other men were circumcised. Satan would think this was just another man because, of course, circumcision was a means of cleansing from sin. It was like our baptism. And so it signified the cleansing from sin. And so who was going to be circumcised but a sinner? So if this was a normal sinner, he'd be circumcised. And so our Lord chose to be circumcised in order to hide the truth from Satan. Just as, of course, he would have his Blessed Mother married. She would remain a virgin, of course, but she'd be married to a man, so that it would not seem, of course, that she had done something wrong. This would hide again this truth from Satan, that in fact he had been conceived by the Holy Ghost. Fifthly, then, our Blessed Lord chose to be circumcised in order that justice might be fulfilled, just as he wished to be baptized so that all righteousness would be fulfilled. So then, in perfect humility, he chose to be circumcised in order to show us that we must be humble. He would submit himself to this act in order to humble himself and to show us the importance of humility. Because if he, who is the author of the law, he is the master of the law, if he subjected himself to the law, if he was so humble as to follow each of these precepts of the law, then we must humble ourselves as well. submitting ourselves to our superiors, and so forth. And finally then, our blessed Lord chose to be circumcised in order to demonstrate his approval of the law of Moses, which was of course good and holy in itself, and of course it would be fulfilled then by his death. As our Lord said, I have not come to destroy the law, but I have come to fulfill it. Okay. St. Paul tells this to the Romans. He says, for I say that Christ Jesus was minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers. So our Lord was to fulfill the law, and so he was going to subject himself to this law in order that he might fulfill it, to bring about a new law, the new covenant, which was going to be, of course, with the church. So my dear friends, let us celebrate this feast today with great joy and with great gladness. And as we begin this new year, let us take good resolutions then for our spiritual benefit and for the benefit of our families. Fathers, you can certainly take the resolution to lead your family in prayer. You are the head. You must be the one that leads the family. So you need to lead your family, especially in your daily rosary. Set a good example then of virtue in your home for your spouse and for your children. Fulfill your duties as perfectly as you can at work and so forth. People know that you're Catholic. You will set a good example for others by fulfilling your duty as perfectly as possible. Finally, then, you can make your home into a sanctuary where our blessed Lord reigns as king and his blessed mother reigns as queen. You are the head. You can bring all these things about. These are good resolutions which you can take on this day. Mothers, resolve then to teach your children by example. You must set the example for them. Teach the catechism in practice. You practice what the catechism is teaching. Teach your children how to pray. Pray with them. Show them the way in which they should pray. To love God. To love Jesus Christ. You show them this by your example. Resolve then to perform even the menialest of tasks that you do every day for the love of God. Even the simplest things we do can gain grace for our soul. They can gain merit for our eternal salvation. So be a good example in this for your children. Teach them how to do everything for our blessed Lord, how to make sacrifices, how to offer everything up. And finally then, resolve to correct your children with charity and with patience. Obviously, they must be corrected. Yes, indeed. Okay, but we do that with love of God, showing the love of God, and we do it with patience, not out of anger, not chastising them because we're angry and irritated, but because they need it. Okay? We teach them this, that God chastises us at times. He loves us, and that's why he chastises us. Okay? So we have to practice the same way. Children, there are things that you can resolve then today as well. First of all, then, you can resolve to do your duties as perfectly as you can. To keep your rooms tidy, to keep your rooms neat and clean, to clean up your toys, to keep everything picked up and put away without having to be told. Your parents should not have to tell you to clean up after yourself. You should do this for our blessed Lord. Do this because you love Jesus. Perform your chores well. Perform them on time. You're asked to do something. You know you have a duty to do in the home. You do it straight away. Your parents should not have to ask you. So today, resolve that you're going to work to do your duties well at home. Whatever you do then, do it well. Resolve to play well. Resolve to study well. You go to school, you learn. You're there to learn. So you work hard. When it's time for you to do homework, you do your homework. You concentrate on that. When it's time to go out and play, you go out and play well. You practice charity to those around you while you're playing. When it's time to pray, you concentrate on your prayers, remembering that you're speaking to God. Whatever you do well. So let us then take good resolutions today. All of us can take good resolutions regarding our spiritual life so that next year, when it comes this time, we can truly and honestly say that we have improved. Every year, we should be able to be honest with ourselves and we should be able to say that today I am closer to our blessed Lord than I was last year. I have overcome certain of my faults. I am being more virtuous than I was last year. I am praying better than I was last year. If we cannot say this, my dear friends, then we are going the wrong direction. We are not going to save our soul. We must be going forward each and every day. It's like trying to row against a current on the stream. If we're not rowing, we start to go backwards. And this is the same way in our life. If we're not going forward, if we're not taking steps, it may be slow, it may be a very slow process. We may take only short steps forward. We may fall back slightly, but we're always trying to go forward. If we're not doing this, then indeed we're going to be going backwards. We're going to be going more towards Satan, serving him, serving the world, serving the things of this world, rather than serving Almighty God. And so let us pray during this Mass. Let us ask, especially the Blessed Virgin Mary, she who bore our Blessed Lord into this world, let us ask her to perform in us, in this in our heart, that our Blessed Lord would spiritually circumcise us, to separate us from the things of this world, that our heart would be given completely to His service, that we would not be attracted to anything in this world, that we may serve Almighty God with our mind, heart, and soul, and thus to merit eternal salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.